My tongue speaks so they will know, giving voice to the legacy that has come before. Sojourner, Ida, Dorothy, Mary, Ella, Maya Angelou, others left out of history books, many refusing to, denying my humanity, but I stand and demand. From birthing of a civilization to nurturing a nation, we've been right here. I breast the comfort of men and suckling babies. How dare they not see me? Strength, genius, and beauty. I give voice to this beautiful struggle to shine and bring forth the light, staking claim to our birthright and inheritance of this earth, an overflow of compassion and justice. Using my voice to tell the children, telling the stories of black excellence, Africans, speaking truth to power, if only for 1 hour, they will stop and know that. My tongue speaks so they will know that. Ain't I a woman?
This is Voices of Advocacy Radio with your host, Lakeisha Gray Sewell, showcasing leading activists, community servants, and entrepreneurs. You are now tuned in to truth, community passion, and amplified legacy. Can you hear it? It's Voices of Advocacy Radio.
Welcome to another edition of Voices of Advocacy Radio. I am personally so very delighted to have with us today someone who I consider to be just so very many things, and her bio is going to speak for herself, and then she will also just share why she is such the golden lady. I'd like everybody to welcome Reverend Dr. Jacqueline Trish Atkins, and anyone who knows her like I do, then of course loves her and then affectionately calls her Reverend Jackie, and as such she is an ordained minister and spiritual counselor. Prior to her calling to the ministry, Reverend Jackie received her Juris Doctorate and as a licensed attorney, has served as an estate tax attorney in legal departments of major financial institutions and lobbied for Chicago's largest cultural institutions from 1996 to 2007. Today, she is the founder and CEO of Shoval & More, not-for-profit, whose mission is to lead people to a new or renewed awareness of their intrinsic greatness through conferences, classes, workshops, coaching, and spiritual counseling. Shoval & More, the not-for-profit, has an intense focus on women. Reverend Jackie, you are all of those things and so very many more, but you are also the golden lady, as I call it, for those reasons and many more. But you are also the brainchild, God's vessel for the Gold Rush Women's Conference. And you started that 8 years ago, and in the last 3 years, you've taken it and moved it into a new direction, just doing some very incredible work in terms of leadership and inspiring other women and bringing other women to the forefront to share their messages. And you've had some other phenomenal great women along the ride with you, speaking and teaching, and it's just a holistic space for women to grow and really to delve deep. But before we even get to the Gold Rush Women's Conference, which, by the way, I want everybody to hold that in their consciousness and also to remember this website, www.goldrushwomensconference.com. We're going to get back to that, but I just want everybody to hold that as a bookmark because that is something that you will need, not just today to reference with Reverend Jackie, but moving forward, a lively community of women and a lively network of women who are consistently growing and searching to live life like it's golden. Reverend Jackie.
Yes, I got to tell you, Lakeisha, I wasn't going to interrupt because I love that lady you were talking about. She is awesome. Well, thank you, Lakeisha Gray Sewell, the woman who has this phenomenal radio show, the voices that is bringing to the world some truths that really, really need to be brought and cannot be brought too often. Thank you for having me on. Thank you to your listeners for hearing me and knowing that everything is in divine order. As we speak this afternoon, we're going to see what that means and how that unfolds. But I am so happy to be with you this afternoon. Yes.
And likewise. And, yes, we're going to just keep it open. And I think, Reverend Jackie, that's a perfect segue right into your life experiences and how your mission in life, staying open and just seeing how God works his divine order. I want to first, Reverend Jackie, you know, people hear ministry, they hear reverend, they hear these titles and this terminology, and instantly feel as if they're being taken to church.
Church is not where I take you. I've been in churches all over the Midwest and across the country, quite frankly. But my mission, as you were describing it, Lakeisha, is really to help each of us, and particularly women, when it comes to the Gold Rush Women's Conference. But as one man told me, it was Jory Lester, as a matter of fact, who said, what you're talking about is valuable for everybody. And that simply is a renewed realization of that you are a valuable entity, that I, as an African-American woman, I am just totally valuable. And I like to put it this way. I am valuable whether I'm wearing a sable coat or whether I am standing butt naked in the middle of State Madison. I have that same value. And once I get a handle on that, once I get a realization of that, I can then make some choices and do what I like to say, create my desired and deserved life experiences. That's what it's about. And really, if you really want to get churchy with this thing and you want to go, even biblically it says that you are the church. The divine image is within you. And so you don't have to go anywhere. You don't have to be anywhere. You don't have to be any particular theology. You just have to know that you are absolutely divine. And I got to tell you, though, it is so often forgotten. It is so often covered up. It's sometimes it's never, ever really known. And that's where I come in to do my work.
Wow. So when you say things about it's not really known, I just think back to just everyday exposure and interaction with women. We all can point to, even ourselves, can point to some days where we hold up these titles, we hold up the benchmarks that society tells us. So I just want you to kind of break that down, Reverend Jackie, what the norms are, what society says for women specifically.
I really want to speak to that because I'm not sure if this is the question you're asking me, but this is the question that's being brought to mind to answer. I love education. I grew up in a household where you're going to get education or you're going to get a whipping with a razor strap. So I love education, but understand that degrees never, if you will, create your value. Understand that diamond rings do not create your value. Understand that having a man with $1 million does not create your value. However, many women have come to that conclusion. They have gotten sidetracked and recognized their value is something external to them. And in doing that, whether it's a degree, whether it's a title, whether I'm the president of what company, whether I'm the lobbyist that represents all major museums in Chicago, or whether I am the janitress at the local hotel, that does not determine my value. And what happens sometimes with society and women will have certain credentials, and then guess what? They start getting afraid. There's what I call a low-grade fever of fear. There is a hidden fear, and every day they're a little concerned that what if I lose that? What if I lose my job? What if I lose my man? What if I don't have this? What if I don't have that? And that fear drives them into thinking that they then are not going to be valuable. So they have attributed their value to some external things, and all external things, Lakeisha, shall pass. All of them shall pass. Mm-hmm. And so in doing that, they create for themselves a constant state of fear, and they start locking down their creative ability to create their desired experiences. As a matter of fact, again, if you want to get biblical, the thing they fear comes upon them, and they say, see, I knew I didn't have the value. That is what society does. Now, on the other end, society has us believing if we do not have XYZ, if I don't have a degree in this and that and the other, if I don't have my house in whatever neighborhood, if I don't have, if I'm not with a man that's well placed, then I must not be so valuable. And again, that is just absolutely not correct, that those things do not create your value. And those women, not realizing they have value, are not accessing that value, using that value to create their desired and deserved life experiences. They become what I like to say, and what we call often, they become victims. And so, as I've written in one poem, freedom is making choices in your life. Bondage is being a passive victim of life. And they become, in bondage, become a passive victim in life because they have come to, or maybe never realized or come to forget that they are walking wonders. They are walking value. And guess what? That value is with them forever. I, you know, in some ways, I like to describe myself as a developer of your spiritual companion. It has nothing to do with theology, because if you go through any, you go whether it's Hinduism, whether it's Buddhism, whether it's Christianity, there is some place where there's going to be a discussion of a spirituality that you are. In the Christian faith, it's, you know, I'm made in the image likeness of God. That has nothing to do with our external being. That has nothing to do with what my face looks like or what my body is built like. It has to do with a spiritual piece of us that is forever. But in developing, if I could have each woman come to understand that spiritual companion, that intrinsic greatness, if I could have her develop that, so that whenever something is going on, she can call on that companion to get advice, to get direction, to know what to do, to be still, to sit down, and to be at peace, then her life would be wonderful.
So let me go back, Reverend Jackie, and hold on to that one piece, the end goal, life being wonderful, life being divine. But going back, you said they become victims. And I could just see women saying, well, this is not about me, because I'm in control. I'm the CEO. I'm the boss. I'm calling the shots, or I'm definitely not the victim, you know. My husband adores me, and he does whatever I want him to do to make me happy. So this conversation is not about me. How can women look to see in their own lives the way that fear could be playing a role in their lives, even if they're occupying the C-suite?
It requires an intentional desire to know what's going on in your existence. It requires, which is, as you know, the Rush Women's Conference is about, it requires a woman who has what you described, the woman you just described, it requires her sitting down. And one of the exercises I like to do with women, I said, sit down and mark through each of those external things you just listed. Mark through them as if they no longer exist for you. Mark through them as if your wonderful husband has just made his transition or lost his good job. Mark through as if your good job has just been abandoned. You no longer have it. Mark through it as if your money's in the stock market, and the stock market has just gone to hell in a handbasket. Mark through each of those external items and then talk to yourself. Find out what you think about yourself. And I will then have a conversation with you. I'm not saying you won't be disappointed. Don't get me wrong. We're walking in a human existence. But after the disappointment is done, I want you to be able to say, I shall not be moved, for just like a tree planted by a source of light, even though adversity appears to be advancing, I know it's going to be all right. Because guess what? I am value. And because I am value, I will then be able to take what I am and recreate experiences going forward in the future. I will not look in my rearview mirror and therefore stumble going forward. No. I will turn around, release all that is no longer mine in my mind, and start recognizing, wow, I did it one time, I can do it again.
And then, Reverend Jackson, when we also talk about how these external trappings sometimes are hiding some fear that's underneath there, I just think about the movie The Devil Wears Prada. And I just think about the character who was the boss and the way that she treated other, you know, her subordinates and other people around her. We also have the way that we treat one another and how we treat ourselves. So can you address that a little as well?
I absolutely can, and I don't know if you're familiar. Number one, I love that movie because it said so very much about maybe women, if you are a prototype. But it is, there's a playwright who wrote a poem, you may have read, If I Was a Black Girl in Love with Myself. And it says, if I was a black girl in love with myself, I would smile at every black girl regardless of their response to me. I would view them as allies and not my competition. I would cheer on their victories and on and on and on. I could say if I were a black woman in love with myself, or if I were a woman in love with myself, I would smile at every other woman regardless of their response to me. I would view them as allies and not as competition. I would cheer on their victories. I don't mean I'm going to be a doormat. I'm going to move out of the way. I'm not going to be allowing myself to be abused, but I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt. And what am I saying? I'm saying when you are truly at peace, when you're truly realizing your value, when you're not needing stuff to make you who you are, you can do that. In that movie, it became very clear that she was a lonely, lonely person. She was fearful, and she did everything in terms of treating people in a nasty manner, treating them in a demeaning manner. Because, of course, when we do that, all the ladies and all the girls need to know when you're treating people in that way, that's only so that you can feel like you're higher placed, like you have some value. And I can tell you, I have counseled both as a minister and a lawyer many, many women whose names many of you would know if I were to say them. And I've had to say, what's going on? How afraid are you? Because I see in your actions, as you are spitting out words and nastiness and nasty energy, I see that is simply your defense mechanism. But guess what? It's killing you. Let's stop. Let's stop. Let's get to the root cause as opposed to just dropping bombs, you know? Let's get to the root cause of why you feel the need to drop a bomb. Let's get to the root cause as to why you feel that you're being attacked. Because, well, you know, Lakeisha, personally and theologically, I believe only we are attacked when, in fact, we allow that attack to happen, when I no longer am acknowledging my value. Does not mean that I may not have to work at a job that is challenging and difficult, but if I am really holding onto my value and listening and being guided and by that, I will be able to move myself out of that scenario in a due time and not have to honor that insanity anymore in my life.
And how does that also, Reverend Jackie, show up in relationships, whether they be intimate relationships or relationships with our children, with our parents?
Well, it comes back to if I am love and recognize I'm love, guess what's going to be happening in the relationship? If I think that, and I'm not sure whether I am good enough, then what I'm going to project is opportunities for people to tell me I'm not good enough if it's an intimate relationship. I'm going to project opportunities for people to treat me as I'm feeling deep inside. You know, it's kind of like in that subconscious part of us where everything is dropped at. And it's often there where we have to go to redeem ourselves, to make ourselves remember, oh, I got to get rid of this, what I call my funky fear, this what I call the dirty doubt, what I call the internalized negative. I got to get rid of that stuff out of that because I'm sending that out so that the man or the woman that's coming at me in an intimate relationship is seeing that and saying, oh, she wants to be treated like that. Okay, I got that. Or if you're talking about with children, and this is where, wow, this is where it really matters for all of us as adult women, for us to really do some house cleaning, to really let go of the pain from past experiences, to let go of the sabotage and self-esteem, to remember who we are, because we will treat our children in such a way that they will walk away with what? Pain from past experiences, low self-esteem, funky fear. We must really, really be careful because we know it's not what we say. It's what we do. They mirror us. They see us. They see us sometimes better than we see ourselves. And so in interacting with our children, raising grandchildren, teaching girls as you're doing, Lakeisha, it's very important that we, as the teacher, as the mother, as the leader, that we've done some house cleaning. I know the team that works with me for the Gold Rush Women's Conference, we've been working together and they don't even know it, Lakeisha, since August, in ways to help us clean ourselves out so that when the women come to the conference, they will come into a loving environment that we collectively create for them. I'm working with another group, it's called Kairos Outside. It's working with women who are impacted by loved ones in prison. We're going through a 36-hour training because I'm never enough in learning. I need to keep learning. I need to keep being open to learning things so that I can continue to use my value to the best way. And so we're going through that so we can clean a house and be able to create a loving environment when these women come. The whole notion of knowing who you are, knowing your value, being able to recognize, I am afraid of this. And so I'm afraid that my little girl is going to get in trouble. So I need to work with that, not scream at her, not yell at her, not act as if she's 10 and she's 16. No, I need to work with my own fear and get some guidance, which may be, the guidance may come from somewhere from outside of you, but you'll be led to that, to help your little girl as she becomes a young woman. But if I am fearful, just totally fearful, and doubting that she's going to follow, and you will give to her every reason to do exactly what you're afraid of.
I think this is a perfect time for you just to talk about, first of all, let me give the disclaimer to the audience that, yes, I am a part of the Gold Rush team. I have the privilege of being a part of the Gold Rush team, and it, for me, is simply been life-changing on every front, so much so that I can't even really talk about it without getting emotional because it has been truly a life transformation for me. But not just because I'm on the team. I want people to understand that, Reverend Jackie, I'm not only a team member, I'm also a client. So I'm not only a team member, but also attending this conference as a registered attendee, getting the same tools and the same work. And so I wanted you to talk more. And when you said that, people, that registers really well with people and that really connects, because you got to call it what it is. And that funky fear and that dirty doubt and those negative internalized messages that people say, and cleaning house. You know, we don't always, you know, even in our real homes, we clean our houses. We have days of the week where we clean up, right? We do it on Saturdays. And it may just be light chores. You know, we may just do some laundry and make sure no dishes are in the sink and mop and that sort of thing. But the real house cleaning, that carpet cleaning, that getting the drapes cleaned out, the windows washed, the making sure the pipes are cleaned out, you know, that real cleaning, that doesn't happen very often. Sometimes we do a spring cleaning and we do it, you know, maybe two or three times a quarter. And so the Gold Rush Women's Conference is that deep cleaning, house cleaning. I want you to talk more about that. Of course, before in the 8-year history, especially in the last 4 years, you've had Susan Taylor, Iyanla Van Zant, you've had Shirley Ralph. You had some huge names attached to the conference. But the real work, Reverend Jackie, we know, happens in those intimate workshops and classrooms with master teachers who really, as you say, get down to the funky fear and the dirty doubt. And I just want you to talk more about what exactly happens in those spaces and why it's so important to take this time to do this work.
Well, and I thank you, and I thank you for being blessed by it, because I, you know, as I am being a vehicle for this work, I too am being blessed. So I'm very grateful to the divine force, however you want to call it a tree if you want to call it God, for having the vision to do this. It comes down to this, and you somewhat identified the house cleaning analogy. As women who are working every day, who are taking care of families, we often will try to do some things, but we are protecting ourselves. We have our defenses up, and therefore we can't start stripping off those things that are blocking our view, our vision of our value, because we're too busy protecting ourselves, okay? So what happens at the Gold Rush Women's Conference, it's a what I call a community of safe and loving women, where we come together and we intentionally create safe space where we can come to.
Yes, let me stop you right there, because people are saying, protecting myself. What am I protecting myself for in my own house? So can you, I hate to be.
Right, no, that's fine.
I don't want anybody to pull back and not see themselves. So kind of give examples of what that protection would be from and what it would look like.
It's really, if you are, let's say you go to work every day and you are fearful of losing your job. 9 times out of 10, you won't go and sit and talk with your manager about helping you to dismantle that fear. More importantly, what you'll do is build up defenses to protect yourself so you can keep your job. And in doing that, what you've done is repress your fear up under some defense, whether it's supposed to be good work or not. There's a fear up under that. If you're in your home and you and your husband are having some challenges, if you're really trying to protect your marriage and you want to keep him, you may not be willing to say, this is not necessarily the best thing for me. We need to change the format of our relationship. We need to do some things differently, because you're too busy protecting your marriage. And so it's something that we all do if we want to be honest with ourselves. And the Gold Rush is an opportunity for women to come away for 2.5 days, and all the women are there in the same mode of wanting to pull back the layers of doubt, pull back the layers of past pain, pull back the layers of fear, so that they can come to the truth of their being, that it's okay, I am valuable. And we establish an environment where I can release my defenses. I don't have to protect myself against my boss. I don't have to protect myself about possibly messing up my marriage by saying the wrong thing. No, you're in an environment where you can release all of those defenses, become vulnerable, and start intentionally looking at the truth of what's going on with you. And then we have powerful workshop leaders and general session leaders and just time together who have spoken across the country. We have women coming from 12, 13 different states who have spoken, and they give us tools. It is not time for entertainment. Some people will call me and say, well, can I come just for one session? No, that's not the mission of this conference. It's time for you to come and to get the tools, but not just to get them, but to even start working with them that one weekend. You can't come to one session. You know, women are really good at multitasking. We'll come to the session and then go home and fix dinner and then come back to the session. No, not an option with this conference. You've got to be there. You get the tools. You work with the women. You maybe want to be by yourself for a time. There's time for that. But there's time for a community of women to say, well, how did that mean? What did that mean for you? How did you break that fear? How did you dissipate that doubt? How do you create the plans to go on, to move beyond? Because once you strip off all the crap and you come back to your goals, it's shining so brightly sometimes that it scares you. So you need somebody to say, hey, that is you. And you do have the power. And you get the tools to start creating what you want your life to look like. Now, I always say the caveat is transformation is a lifelong experience. Why? Because every day the media, and Lakeisha, you can talk about the media and people and societal values throw stuff at us. And sometimes it sticks, sometimes the dirt sticks, and sometimes it doesn't. But that's why we have to continually, and why once a year going forward, we will have a Gold Rush Women's Conference. So women, no matter how great they've been or how not so great they've been, they can come and get a handle on who I am again. They can come and get a taste and a view of their golden self, their spiritual companion that's always there and that can lead them into a life of living on higher ground. That's what it's about. It's awesome. I've had women who've told me last year she had a dream of moving into a whole business, a nursery business. She has done it. I had another woman who finished writing her book. She has done it. The women who are living and who are, as Lakeisha has described, Lakeisha, they're saying, I'm doing better. I'm not quite there yet, but I'm getting better. I see when I'm afraid. I see when I'm afraid. If I can see when I'm afraid, I can dismantle the fear.
And then on the website, of course, people can go, I mean, you mentioned two testimonies, but we have several videos up on the website of women from all over. I mean, you have 10 states that are represented at this conference, women coming from everywhere.
And I want to mention, too, because, again, we have had atheists, Buddhists, Christians, Muslims there at the conference. It is not about theology. It is about an essence, your valuable essence, your intrinsic greatness. That's what it's about.
And I think that that's important, Reverend Jackson, because I think so many people see you, as I said before, they see that title and they get hung up right there on minister or reverend, and it shuts down because of other the attachments that they have with those titles or the experiences that they have with those titles. But
and let me just stop. I have to say I couldn't blame them. If I didn't know what I knew and have had my experience unfold in a different way, so often, historically and traditionally, I would not go near a church if I was a woman. But that's not what's happening here. Because I know the God of my being is neither male or female. It's a divine force, and that force is within me. And so it's within each woman. And I like to lead them with, may you recognize the force that is with you. Not may the force be with you. The force is with you. May you recognize it and live from that place.
Whew. Okay, I want to talk a little bit more about who you are also. Can I interject?
Yeah.
Because I was holding back. Like, you are, I just wanted people to hear you speak before sharing more of your accolades, because I want people to hear you, and as you just described, I want people to hear how the force is working through you, and not just in other, you know. So I want people to also hear just some of the marvelous and really powerful things that you've done, Reverend Jackie, and how you've grown.
Well, I thank you for recognizing that God has worked through me. I was a lawyer. I went to school. And was a lawyer, and worked for as an estate tax attorney for the IRS, and then worked for major banks in Pittsburgh initially, and then in Chicago, First National Bank of Chicago, in the law department. And then realized that as I was doing that, mind you, I was the first African American woman who was the president of the YWCA of Metro Chicago. I served on the Illinois State Board of Education under Governor Thompson. I was appointed there for 8 years. Traveled all over the state of Illinois. That's when I really understood it ain't about the money, folks. It's about the teacher who's teaching your child. Money helps. Money helps. I could never say there's a lot of money to help, but it's really important. And that's why I said, cleanse yourself. Look at yourself as you're raising your children. So I served at the State Board of Education. I have served on a number of boards, United Way Board and other boards. But in addition, upon leaving banking, I worked with affordable housing. I was executive vice president of a company long before affordable housing was a popular topic. And I became committed that affordable housing, nice housing, quality housing, is a given. No one in this country should live in other than wonderful housing. And so I work with a company. We built throughout neighborhoods, and people didn't know they were quote-unquote affordable, which was wonderful because people could move in there. Section 8 could move in there. Poor folks could move in there in lovely neighborhoods. I did that and then moved into finally representing the 9 major museums that sit on parkland. I was a lobbyist. And what my legacy there is, the museums, I suppose, do the best they can, but they were not in African-American neighborhoods. Children, when you look at the attendance, there was huge attendance, very small percentage from our neighborhoods. And what I did was create an initiative that exists today where the museums go into the neighborhoods at least for a 3-year cycle and then roll around to another neighborhood. So we have 9 museums that are in neighborhoods on a 3-year cycle that did not exist before. And for that, I am very grateful that God gave me the idea. And mind you, that the board was made up of 9 presidents, so neither one of them could fire me at any point in time, although all of them would have liked it. Following that, though, I was really called into the ministry, and I started in the ministry. I was ordained in 1998. I received my Master's of Divinity from Chicago Theological Seminary in 2008. And I was inducted in the Board of Preachers down in the King Chapel in Morehouse College in 2006. So I have done in the ministry, taken into the ministry what my calling is, and that is to help people understand they have a right. Their divinity, their value says the world is their oyster. And once we understand that, we will love and give out love. It won't be what we have seen as a selfish selfishness, but it'll be, yes, I want to be comfortable. Yes, I love nice things. And yes, I need and will have them. But it also means that I will make sure, best I can, I will do my part to make sure that you have it too, and that you have it, and that you have it. And the way God has given that to me is to have people recognize their value. Because if you don't recognize your value, Lakeisha, I can give you $1 million, and guess what? It's going to be gone. You have to recognize your value. You have to create your desired and deserved life experiences for them to be sustained throughout your life.
Yes, yes, yes. So, I know people hear that. I know people are receiving that. Again, GoldRushWomen'sConference.com. Please visit that site. Please register. It's March 13th through the 15th in Lisle, Illinois at the Hyatt.
Yes, it is. Yes. And we love to see you join us at the Gold Rush.
And Reverend Jackie, I was actually going to read the bio, but you just I'm so happy, and I just love that you talked about your accomplishments was in no way at all in a boastful manner, but it was with pride and you know, full of just God using you. And I want people to understand that there's a difference in being able to talk about accomplishments and talk about how the blessings that you've had and how God has used you versus talking in a way that, makes people think that, that's all that there is to you, as you said
and,
before, be restricted
yeah,
away. Yeah.
You're absolutely right, which comes back to what we initially talked about, and that is if you understand your value, you know all those quote-unquote things that I have received or done, those were just the manifestation of my value. They were not my value. And as long as I hold on to that truth, then I'm going to be okay. I'm going to be loving. When you find people, women or men, who are officious or who are allowing you to think that they are better than you are, then you know that, Lord have mercy, invite the woman to come to the gold rush because she needs to be there.
And not only that, you got a flip side of that too, Reverend Jackie. You got the flip side of that, which I know I struggled with a lot before. And that is people who will downplay and won't even speak up and say, you know, I could have read your bio and skipped over some stuff and downplayed it or not, you know, said any,
mm-hmm.
you know, picked and choose.
Mm-hmm.
But you have people who will allow that to happen and who won't say, oh, well, hold on, this is my legacy. This is something that I fought very hard for, and this was a great achievement. And they
mm-hmm.
won't do it for fear of offending someone or fear of sounding as if they are whatever to other people.
And that is just another symptom, if you will, of thinking that you truly, for women and for men, but I'm speaking to women now who do that. It's simply because they're not quite sure. You know, there's a question, there's a fear. And to share it, we need to know sharing our quote-unquote accomplishments in a way that provides an opening for somebody else to see. You know, I got to tell you, I'm a little black girl in America, okay, on the south side of Chicago. And no, I don't have any real sad story to tell you, but I can tell you that working downtown in 900 North Michigan, as I did for 4 years at JMB, it was not fun. It was not easy. And if they would have had their way, I would have felt like I had no value. So I might have said it to someone, but I would have said it in a demure, kind of quiet way. But that simply would have reflected what I had picked up from them, that you're here, but, you know, you really aren't, blah, 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 blah,
mm-hmm.
blah. We need to be mindful. We need to be mindful that our sharing, as long as we do not then attribute ourselves, our value, at that with that external thing, that's where it gets confusing. That's where it gets confusing.
Absolutely, and I really wanted to drill down on that because, like I said, I know people, we all do it as a defense mechanism. We'll hide, and some of us, as you know, are better at hiding, getting deep down and hiding and pushing a lot of other stuff to the front so that we can not really be honest with ourselves. And so just to be able to offer that picture for people to say, oh, yeah. She is talking about me, you know.
And I also go ahead. I just want to mention what you're talking about is what is your intention?
Mm.
What is your intention? That's what you're talking about. The same words can be said with one intention that is ugly and another intention that is pure. That's what you're talking about. When you share, when you're talking about, when you are thinking about, what's your intention? Are you sharing what you have been able to do through the force of the God-given gifts that you have so that someone else can know they can? Or are you sharing so that you can feel like you are better than they are? What's your intention? What's going on?
And this is why the gold rush is so important, Reverend Jackie, because who will stop and say that to you? Who will stop and have you to reflect on that, and how would you even know to measure yourself, to measure your intention? You know, like you said, you're working and doing and behaving the way you behave as a form of protecting your job, of being a good wife, of being a good mother, just being the best all-around community activist, whatever it is you're trying to do. do you ever spend the time to say, well, wait a minute, you know, was, is that how I really feel? Is that my ego talking or is that me talking? Well, you know, what's really
right.
guiding me? Why am I talking? And so also, Reverend Jackie, I wanted to give the full experience of the Gold Rush Women's Conference.
Mm-hmm.
And I can do it, but I want you to just, because this is you. This is your baby.
Oh,
and you are so,
it's a communal, it's a community that we create. You're going to come in and you're going to be a part of community and you're going to be welcomed by women who have been preparing themselves so they can make sure you're walking into, I call it a spiritual spa, where your spirit will just feel wow, feel love. And you will then find yourself, it's a threefold being. You're a threefold being, your spirit, your mind, your body. And so we make sure that all parts of those are taken care of. We believe in meditation in the morning. As for as much fun as we may have in the evening after the shop workshops are over, we get up in the morning. Most women, nobody's forced to, but it's surprising the vast number of women get up to meditate. What, you've never meditated? It's okay. Guess what? Because we flow into that. We show you how to do it, and it's very, very easy. We then have a physical workout. Why? Because you got a body. It's a gift. It's a gift from the Creator. It's your body. It's what you do with it. And so we have a physical workout. No forcing, but surprisingly, so many women who don't normally work out come and join us. And then we have more sessions, more workshops, more gatherings. And we even have, I guess I shouldn't say it, but we do, we have a pajama party where we all just have fun, where we've worked hard for 2 days. We've studied, we've pulled apart, we've come together, we've come to new realizations. And so now we just want to have fun, and we have fun. And then on Sunday, we come back together. There's more information, there's powerful information, and we close out. We have music, too. We have the Drum Divas, and we have Marjorie Stroud. We have maestros, I call, that help us understand what massaging our soul so as the seeds of truth are dropped, they can be planted. Massaging our soul so as the stuff that we need to get rid of can loosen up, we can let it go. So it covers the gamut because we are coming together in a community and we're walking out on Sunday afternoon knowing that we are living on higher ground. That's our intention, and that's what's going to happen. We're going to be living on higher ground.
And as you said, Reverend Jackie, about we have bodies that we have to take care of, I love this conference because it is a spiritual spa, and it has every aspect of our being is taken care of and given the attention. So we have the chakra alignment workshops,
We have a workshop dealing with sexuality. Because guess what? If you're spirit, if you're fearful, if you're doubting yourself, sexuality is going to be a mess. And God gave it to us. It's not supposed to be a mess, folks. It's not supposed to be a mess. We have a workshop dealing with our finances. We have phenomenal, Stephanie Wilson Coleman does it phenomenally, dealing with spiritual tools that absolutely translates into taking care of your money. Because, again, it's all about our value is an intrinsic and an internal thing. And from that, as Stephanie would tell you, you want to know what your money looks like? Look at your relationships. I can tell you, if I know what your relationship is like, I can tell you what your money's like. Because they're all being driven by that same doubt or fear. Everything that's blocking your value, which could guide you into a different kind of reality.
And this is, I don't want to cheapen it or even lessen it, but, you know, sometimes people just need a different way of hearing stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just going to say this. Everybody's not going to get an episode or a segment dedicated to them, Fix Your Life. Everybody not getting on the reality TV, Fix Your Life. And there's no reality TV show or no outside I mean, you can watch all the Super Soul Sundays. You can watch all that you would like to. You can have a whole library full of that stuff. But if you don't have the practice of doing it, and if you're not guided and taught the proper way to do it, you just yelling out affirmations or whispering affirmations to yourself every day, or caught up in how somebody else did it, not really knowing how it works in your own life. So to me, that's the true value of the Gold Rush Women's Conference, is to see how can you do this work in your own life.
I would echo that. I want to say one thing that is really, and I don't know how much time we have left, but it's really critical for those women who are looking for better employment, who don't necessarily have employment, who will need to go and ask somebody to get the funds to get there. It's very low price. Go on the website, you can see it. But what I want to say to you is, I wrote up a piece, because the first step to career development, I don't know if you're familiar with Sheryl Sandberg or not, but she wrote in her book last year, was only published last year, and I've been doing these conferences, it'll be the ninth year this coming year. But she wrote that exactly what we dismantle at the conference, the fear, the doubt, the internalized negatives, the low self-esteem, she said those things are what often block women from moving into work. For she says you'll see it in terms of not going for job promotions, not preparing to succeed, speaking as you spoke earlier, Lakeisha, softly when you should speak up. And she said, what is so wonderful about that, not that we have those things, but we have full control of dismantling those internal barriers. And therefore, I call it the first step to job development, to career development. Dismantle these internal barriers so that you can go, and yes, your resume looks good, but your internal barriers are speaking louder than your resume when you have your interview. So I just want to put that on the table for those who are looking in terms of employment and work. This is really a very critical kind of opportunity for them.
And it is an opportunity that I hope everybody who is listening will take advantage of, whether they're taking advantage for themselves or whether you send your wife, you send your partner, you send your sister, your mother, your aunt. It is so transformative, seriously. I know for sure that I can give you names of 10 women who are very close to me who are not in this space and who don't have this space held for them to do this work. And they are taking care of elders, family members. They are taking care of grandchildren. They are doing everything as a part of their church or their school community. They're the person that's taking care of everything and everybody else, and there's very little time spent on themselves. And I think, Reverend Jackie, that for you to be the vessel to create this space, I think that is absolutely what this radio show has been developed for. People like you who are visionaries, people like you who want to see God's work and the work of universal greatness touch everybody's lives and everybody come to understand that we all have the same greatness inside of us. Whether it's manifested different ways is something
That's right.
of a whole different conversation. But I'm just so grateful for you and for your life and how you allow your life to just be an example.
And I want to thank you for offering us this opportunity. Everybody won't step out as you've done with the voices, and it's important, because unless we have a vehicle, a channel to move this on out, and people say we have this, you have that. Well, apparently we need more. So I'm going to tell you, thank you for you being the visionary, for you following your direction from within, because I got to tell you, when the direction from without that told you to do this, this is hard work. And yet, you will, in fact, absolutely be blessed and be a blessing for many women because of it.
Well, you know how I feel about you. I just know that without the Gold Rush Women's Conference, you can't hear the voice within. You don't take that time to recognize it. So I just thank you for it. I'm looking forward to March 13th.
Yes.
I'm looking forward to March 12th. And just get settled in and to make the space and create the atmosphere for the women. So when they arrive, that it's a welcoming space, and they really do feel that they are on a spiritual retreat. I'm just so excited and proud to be a part and be connected to the Gold Rush Women's Conference. So for all those who have heard us say it again and again, it is the GoldRushWomen'sConference.com. Again, GoldRushWomen'sConference.com. All the information that you need is on the website in terms of registration, the venue and where it is.
And let me give them this number for those who may not have a computer, 773-417-9595.
773-417-9595. Also, Reverend Jackie, you have some awesome vendors, women entrepreneurs.
Yes, we do. We have vendors who will be providing. Last year, it felt like a mini North Michigan Avenue, but the price was much better. And this year, I'm very excited. We will have some of the same vendors back. We have vendors who are caring about the kinds of food we eat. They're good food, but it's not junk food. Beautiful jewelry, beautiful clothing, Nisha's pieces. We have a woman who's going to be with us who helps people write books. And she's helped many, many people write books. She's taking a vendor table. I'm excited. I'm going to sit down and talk to her because she has helped people publish books and edit books. And I think that's an exciting thing. And then we do have Ambassador Organic Tea and Coffee, Carol Mosley Braun, the first African-American female senator in this United States Senate.
Yes.
She will have her company will be represented there. We will also have two not-for-profits represented. And we'll have what I'm doing is sharing issues that for women about women. One deals with the Cairo Southside, which is the organization where women are helped who are impacted by loved ones being incarcerated. And the other is where we give lots and lots of shoes to women who need them. So we understand the principle that you must plant a seed, you must give. We're giving. The Gold Rush Women's Conference is opening up the door and giving an opportunity for many women to come to a new realization of their value. But we're also giving some things on a practical level, food and support and love.
And that's most important. We need all this world. If we all knew how to love ourselves, we could love each other better. And the world needs. That's the one thing we can't get enough of is love. So I love Gold Rush Women's Conference. I love you, Reverend Jackie.
I love Lakeisha. Thank you, and Voices Radio. Yes.
Thank you so much.